This is KUT. I'm David Brown of the Texas Standard. There's no question that Austin's been on a growth spurt for the past couple of decades, one that's expected to continue into the foreseeable future. But while other major cities in Texas are also growing rapidly, Austin's population growth is unique in one regard in particular. The city at the heart of state politics, governance, and policy is the only major city in the state, in the U.S., in fact, where the size of the African-American population not only did not keep pace, but actually went down. That's according to new findings from UT Austin's Institute for Urban Policy Research and Analysis. So what's behind this, and what does it mean? Eric Tang is the author of this new report. Professor Tang, in your report, you point out that this is happening while the size of every other racial group in the city has been on the rise. What's driving these numbers?
It is the history of segregation of the African-American community here in Austin, followed by intense gentrification of the neighborhoods to which they were segregated.
You say the history of segregation. There was once upon a time a zone here in Austin that was actually carved out just for African-Americans, right?
That's right. In 1928, the city of Austin created what it called the Negro District, which is just east of downtown. And the gateway to it today is Franklin Barbecue, for those of you who are familiar with Austin. The city effectively pushed 80% of the black population, which before 1928 lived all over Austin, into this segregated district within 2 years. Fast forward to the 1990s, early 2000s, that same area became prime real estate for new developers for gentrification.
The question is, of course, where do people go when they're pushed out because of gentrification? Where are they going?
Right. That's a great question. Many of them have moved outside of Austin entirely. And that is, you know, a puzzling phenomena. So if you're displaced from your historic neighborhood because of gentrification, why not move to another neighborhood in Austin that's more affordable? And here's where we have to look beyond gentrification. And we have to look at issues such as public education, policing, and the job market. And in all three areas, what we believe is that African Americans face persistent inequalities. So in the Austin Independent School District, many parents that I've talked to, just anecdotally in our research, have argued that their grandchildren and children are receiving an inferior education to what they got during the post-civil rights years. African Americans also have a troubled history with the Austin Police Department. In 2004, the NAACP filed a civil rights complaint for excessive use of force against African Americans, which led to a Department of Justice investigation. Mm-hmm. That investigation coincided with this decade in which we lost so much of our black population here in Austin. And then you have a job market that doesn't match the traditional skill sets of African Americans.
What do you mean traditional skill sets?
So for many African Americans who created this vibrant community here in Austin during the early part of the 20th century and the mid part of the 20th century, they were, small shopkeepers. They worked in government. They worked as teachers, so on and so forth. The major areas of growth for Austin's economy today are in technology and in construction. African Americans are not sought after in those professions. They don't have opportunities in those professions. A report came out, or a book came out, in fact, by some UT researchers about 2 years ago that showed what we call, or demonstrated what we call, the digital divide in Austin. And it showed that African Americans and Latinos don't have access to tech training and tech career opportunities. At the same time, we have a construction industry driven by, this glut of new construction here in Austin. But as you can, just see by passing through any construction site on any given day, the majority of workers are immigrants from Latin America. So African Americans haven't really broken into the construction industry, largely because the labor network in the construction industry is also an ethnic network, right? So usually what happens is you find new laborers by going through the ethnic network, and African Americans are just not in that queue.
Let's reconsider for just a moment. Segregation, historic segregation, gentrification on the east side, police policy, problems with the police. You find a lot of these issues in a lot of cities, in particular in the South, where you had actual Jim Crow-style segregation and policies where blacks were actually redistricted within cities. Mm-hmm. So we're not seeing this in other major metropolitan areas.
Right.
Why Austin?
In Austin, what you see is a intersection and intensification of these issues, right? So what I mean by that is that you have Jim Crow segregation in cities like Houston, right? We know this. This is not, you know, a revelation. However, its African-American community wasn't, or its segregated African-American community was not targeted for gentrification at the same rate or intensity as we see here in Austin, mm-hmm. right? So yes, segregation and gentrification are not unique to Austin, but what is unique is the way that these issues intersected and intensified between 2000 and 2010.
I want to get back to another point that you made about the police incidents and African Americans. You mentioned lawsuits, complaints, investigations, and there have been a couple of waves of reform within the police department. Why has that not resonated or registered within the African American community here?
Well, that's, you know, a very good question. It's an interesting one, too, because, you know, Austin's police department will argue that openly, if you will, invited the Department of Justice to come in and do an investigation. For the most part, it accepted most of the recommendations made by the federal government. However, once that investigation wrapped up, what the NAACP found was that use of force went up immediately. And to give you some perspective, the African-American population is roughly 8 to 9% of the Austin population right now, yet they account for 33% of the use of force complaints. I mean, that is a pretty startling number. And so I think that many African Americans have lost faith in the kinds of reforms that have been suggested. I would say that most African Americans who have lived in Austin for decades would argue that it is not a welcoming city for African Americans.
That's strange because, as you know, as anyone listening knows, Austin has this reputation as a liberal, tolerant sort of mecca, almost. I mean, with few peers elsewhere in the country. It seems like this report undermines a lot of long-held assumptions about the city's character.
You know, I think Austin is deserving of its progressive reputation. It is a city that has taken seriously the issue of environmental sustainability. It's a city that is going to be, what, the first zero-waste city in the country. It's a city that I think has politically engaged citizens. Yet on the issue of race and class, to a large extent, and with respect to African Americans in particular, it falls short of its progressive reputation.
What can Austin do about that situation, if anything, at this point?
You know, I think that the city of Austin has to begin by first acknowledging that it has a problem when it comes to retaining and recruiting its African-American population.
You mean when you say the city, you mean just the lay people?
I'm
you
sorry.
Mean rank and file Austinites, or do you mean the city officials?
I mean city officials. You know, I don't think that there's enough discussion about what's happened to our African-American community here in Austin.
Well, Eric, have you talked about your report with city officials?
I was asked to present the findings of this report before city council and the mayor. You know, I gave the numbers. I told them that Austin is the only major growth city in the country seeing a simultaneous decline in its African-American population. And the mayor pushed back and said, no, actually, that's not true. Our percentage of African-Americans may have gone down, but the absolute number of African-Americans is on the rise. In fact, the mayor is wrong on that issue. The total number of African-Americans in the metropolitan area, which includes Pflugerville, Round Rock, Cedar Park, so on and so forth, mm-hmm. will show us a small net gain in African-Americans.
But these are other cities.
But these are other cities, right. Yeah. Austin, though, on its own, has seen an absolute decline in African-Americans. And so here's what I think part of the problem is, right? That there isn't even a discussion, a clear discussion about what we're talking about, right? Let alone a reckoning with what's happening. And so I think it begins with the city, its officials, looking at this problem seriously and understanding it and taking it seriously. You know, the 1928 master plan, which I attribute much of what we're seeing today to, was designed by city officials. The question remains, in 2014, do city officials play a role in redressing that past injustice?
Well, the new plan for geographic representation at city council, the 10-1 plan, is about to change the face of Austin politics. Do you think that that goes to the heart of the matter?
I think the 10-1 plan is a step in the right direction. I think it does create an opportunity to have a more diverse city council. I don't know that that's going to translate into an increase in the African-American population here in Austin. The issues that we identify in our report, gentrification, policing, education, job opportunities, those things will impact whether or not African-Americans stay in Austin and whether or not they move to Austin. The 10-1 plan on its own and having more representation doesn't necessarily guarantee that.
It's my understanding that this is just the first report in a series. What's next? What happens next?
I think what we need to look at next is what is the impact of Black displacement from Austin? Meaning, what happens to these families or what happened to these families after they left? So those who believe that gentrification is just part of what happens when you live life in the market, no harm, no foul, we need to test that theory, right? Did the families who had to move out of East Austin do better or worse when they got to Pflugerville, Cedar Park? The other related question is, what about those who stayed, right? Because there are still African Americans in East Austin. Mm-hmm. Are they doing better or worse? You know, the common defense of gentrification is that when you bring in new investments to this neighborhood, those who have lived there for generations and lived in poverty will do better.
Yeah, right? They point to quality of life.
Quality of life improves for everybody.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Well, is that true? We don't know that. Are the families who are staying in Austin, in East Austin, despite higher property taxes, so on and so forth, mm-hmm. really doing better, or are they actually doing worse because now they have the added stress of, you know, property taxes or the fact that, you know, their local stores that they had relied on for years were sold off to new businesses that don't really speak to their interests or tastes, or that their health clinics were shut down, right? I mean, can we honestly say that those who have stayed despite gentrification are doing better? I think our research has to look into that next.
Eric Tang is with the Division of Diversity and Engagement at the University of Texas at Austin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
For the Texas Standard, I'm David Brown, KUT News.